Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Believe it or not, there are a few subjects I haven't covered in 5 years. One of them, I never did a show on this, sleep apnea, snoring. Now, this has become very important to me because I didn't really get it fully that so much disease is related to sleep apnea. You have people in renal failure. You have people with heart disease. You have people on multiple medications for anxiety or depression disorders. And at the root of it, sleep apnea. Nobody's telling you that. Well, if you go to the sleep apnea centers, well, they'll tell you that. I'm going to mention a couple of people with, I think, novel solutions. We've got to get off this CPAP thing. First of all, CPAPs don't completely fix it. So that's one big one. A lot of people misunderstand that. CPAPs do not completely fix sleep apnea. They reduce it. But like I just said, when you're at the doctor's office for renal failure or heart disease or cancer or anxiety disorders or low back pain, they're not telling you, they're not taking the time to tell you, they're not going in to the whole story of it with you to get to the fact that for maybe 20 years before you got sick, you weren't sleeping correctly. I don't mean lack of sleep, I mean apnea. So those of you who snore, you're suspect. Not everybody who snores has sleep apnea. Two people sleeping together, husband and wife, over the years, the way you know is they're the ones that snore, and then all of a sudden they stop in the middle of the snore, and they hold their breath, and then they let go. That's sleep apnea. Sometimes people will snore gently. Sometimes people will snore even loudly, but they'll snore in continuous sorts of rhythms. Sleep apnea is more related to that abrupt, sharp stop. You stop the snore, and then you shirk. You move your body, or maybe you even wake up, and then you go back to sleep. And people, when they clock this, can do this many, 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 many times a night, and they don't know it. So that's kind of what sleep apnea is. If you don't really know what it is even still, go on YouTube. They got lots of pictures. Good old YouTube, right? You can find out anything. Go on and look at people with sleep apnea and ask yourself the question. Well, why am I doing a show on sleep apnea? Because, as I said, so many people are lost in the labyrinth of health, disease, all these different problems. And when you get to the bottom of it, it's sleep apnea contributing to it in very, very significant places. Now, take a look at this article. Get to the website. Most of you are already on it. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you can, always get to my website where I've got articles, I've got pictures, and that follows the words. So it's a radio show and a seminar in one, in the ideal of it. If you're driving, of course, etc., just listen and imagine. I'll try to compensate you. On the website, straighttalk.cc, click to the view the full article on the impact of obstructive sleep apnea on chronic kidney disease. If you click on that link, there you go. It's a peer-reviewed article. That's a study. That's something that the National Institute of Health paid for. These doctors petitioned, wrote their research proposal, got the dough, and went to it. Now, look at this. This blows my mind. In the abstract, which is the summary of the article, OSA, obstructive sleep apnea is an important clinical problem in the chronic kidney disease population. Sleep apnea is associated with hypoxemia and sleep fragmentation, which activates the sympathetic nervous system. Now, just stop there. Don't get a headache. Read that if you want on your own later. But here's the point. Right there in the abstract, in the first couple of sentences, first of all, you can replace chronic kidney disease with heart disease. You can replace it with any disease. Now, they just did the study here. They've done the study with heart disease. But rest assuredly, when you're talking about the result, what sleep apnea causes, and you're citing hypoxemia and sleep fragmentation, meaning disrupted sleep and low tissue oxygen. That's what they're saying. They're saying for that 6, 7, 8, 10 hours, you're subjecting your body, you're suffocating yourself. It's basically saying that for 1/3 of your life, you're suffocating yourself. You're putting yourself into the panic zone. And don't rule yourself out if you haven't been diagnosed. There are tons of people running around doing this their whole life, getting sick, and they don't know it. I kid you not. And then there's lots of people who just aren't going to put that CPAP machine on. I mean, how do you have a relationship with somebody when you put this humongous contraption on your face at night? How do you roll over? How do you hug somebody? How do you do any of these things? So lots of people don't do them. Quite understandable. But what happens over 10, 15, 20 years? So if you get into the guts of it, if you get into the science of it, it's telling you that casual little interrupted snore going on for 6 or 8 hours means your cells are not getting oxygen. All hell will break loose under those conditions. And it does, thus the article. Now, here's the bigger part of it, which activates the sympathetic nervous system. Obstructive sleep apnea is associated with sleep fragmentation, which activates the nervous, which activates the sympathetic nervous system. Now, if you're new to the show, that just means that part of your electrical system that keeps you in the mode or keeps you in the gear, physiologically speaking, as if you're running from tigers all day. The sympathetic nervous system is the electrical pulse from the brain down the spinal cord to the organs that makes your organs work as if you're running from a volcanic eruption or a tiger. It's what mediates your fight-flight symptom. So you got to think about that. You're going to sleep, and instead of going into deep parasympathetic repose, true deep relaxation, the state in which your cells will repair, will regenerate, will do all the things you need them to do, instead of that, your cells are pumping it out as if you're running from a tiger. Now add that up over 30 years. This is where health really lives, in things like this. And this is what you consistently hear me harp on all the time. Health is between the lines. Whether you're seeing an allopath, you're seeing a nutritionist, you're seeing a chiropractor, it's in between the lines that health lives. It's the fine-tooth comb. It's the stuff you don't get hit with. So we talk about sleep, and we talk about getting sleep. We talk about getting enough sleep. Really, we've got to take it a little bit further. We've got to take it to the quality of sleep. Now, here's where more backup comes. And I think it's worth going into because I think it truly enriches your understanding and it stimulates you. It compels you to take a look at it and maybe do something about it. So I think it's a worthy journey today. So let's get into this. Let's get into the nose. Because if the air doesn't get through the nose, then you don't sleep right. Air through the nose, that is not a little deal. That is a big deal. But so let's take a look at the nose. I want you to go to picture number one. Go to picture number one. Take a look at what we call the oropharynx. So when you swallow your food, you chew it and you swallow it. It's got two pipes. And we know this from just common sense. It can go down two ways. It can go down the way it's supposed to go, through your esophagus to your stomach. Or it can go down the wrong way, down the wrong pipe, Grandma used to say. Oh, that guy choking there. The food went down the windpipe. That windpipe is the oropharynx to the trachea. So when you swallow, the food goes down one way or the other. The reason it always goes down the esophagus is because you've got this great big flap of skin and cartilage called the epiglottis. And the epiglottis, you're looking at picture number one now, it looks like a flap. And as you swallow, that flap shuts over the head of the trachea. In other words, when you swallow, the innate mechanism prevents the food from going down the windpipe because this cap, this cover, the epiglottis covers the trachea. And sometimes when you chew and swallow too fast, that epiglottis gets stuck or it doesn't reflex fast enough and the food goes down the windpipe, and that's what we call choking. All right, we've got that. Now, I want you to get this because it's big. It's simple. It's big. It's right on the tip of our nose. It's the answer to everything. Well, almost everything. And here we go. Look at picture number one. You see where it says vertical? Horizontal tongue, vertical. Just keep vertical in your mind. Those of you not on the site, just understand that we're talking about your oropharynx, your oral cavity to your pharynx when you're 17 years old and your posture's good. And you're healthy. And you've got that nice long straight neck. And that long straight neck, you guys know where I'm going, is nice and vertical. Now look at picture number three. Look at what happens to the normal posture over the years. Look at that posture over the years. As that head goes forward, the whole angle of the oropharynx shifts. I want you to get this down. Those of you on the site, I want you to really get this down. If you're not on the site, just understand, as you age and your head goes forward, we call it anterior head carriage. As we develop the Dowager's hump, men, women, we choke out that place where the epiglottis lives. We choke out the angle. We change the angle that we utilize when we put air through the nose. So air goes through the nose and then down where? Where does the air go as you breathe in through the nose? It goes where? It goes down the trachea into the bronchi, into the lungs. But if that head comes forward and it chokes out the trachea and it shifts it spatially to improper places, you can't get the air down the throat. And so what do? You open your mouth. You open your mouth. You change the position of your neck now on top of the changed position because you have anterior head carriage. And you completely screw up the air mechanism during inspiration. So sleep apnea causing hypoxia, low tissue oxygen, interrupted sleep, activating the fight-flight nervous system, preventing your cells, your kidney, your heart, your immune system, your brain, your low back from regenerating during that 6 to 8 straight hours of sleep, hopefully, is now being tormented decade after decade after decade after decade. That's big. You see where health is? Health is understanding the art of simple stuff, the art of food, The art of sleep, the art of where your home is, the art of relationship, the art of understanding that you're here to find what your creative contribution is to the world. These are all arts. These are not things you can put on a list. They're not things you can understand when you're 10 years old. They're things that you have to evolve and mature to have and maintain radiant health. To me, science should back up simple things. Saying you have sleep apnea, and therefore you have to think about that in terms of your cancer or your kidney disease or whatever, your back pain, your surgery, your knee replacement, your arthritis, your autoimmune disease. Saying you have sleep apnea and that's why you have the disease, or that drives the disease. Saying that and understanding it with gravity are two different things. Making the simple superficial connection is not where it's at. And this is what we do. Do not do the cliff note version of health. Oh, yeah, I got it. That always scares me. Anytime somebody doesn't just want to enamor themselves with the process, fall in love with the process, get excited about the process, they're in trouble. They're not going to make it. I rarely see people get what they want out of their health journey until it becomes a health journey. It's not a detour. It's a journey. It's an opportunity to find out how to better yet get your soul to express its creativity. So we're talking about sleep apnea now, snoring, disrupted sleep, sympathetic dominance, how it relates to disease. And the first thing we have to understand as one fundamental cause is anterior head carriage. But what do you do about that? Those of you who are new to the show, get on the website straighttalk.cc and get a perspective on how you shift your posture. And don't reduce it to stick your chest out, pull your shoulders back, and keep your head up. Don't reduce it to that. The process through which you shift posture back to what it was when you were a teenager is obligatory for all of us. It's incumbent upon all of us. It's what Ida Rolf gave her life to teaching you, that structure determines function. That dislodged anatomy, that dysfunctional anatomy creates pathology. That disease is structurally oriented. And we know this. We know disease is structurally oriented. The head comes forward, the oropharynx gets congested, and it fuels, it drives, it interferes with the ability of your kidney, your heart, your liver, whatever, to repair. You've taken out your main asset, a deep, strong sleep. And so we know we have to shift structurally. So we see chiropractors, we see osteopaths, we see massage therapists. But I ask you to consider that whatever your interaction, your participation in structural work is, whether you get massage, whether you go to a chiropractor, whether you go to yoga, whether you go to Pilates, if that head and neck have not straightened out in the tenure of your participation, put that on the list. Make that priority number one and go figure out how to make this happen. Go to your yoga teacher, go to your massage therapist, go to your chiropractor and say, I want to get my posture straightened out. Teach me how to do this. They may know. They may have no clue. But they may know. And you have to put it out there. And you have to take steps. It's out there in the literature. There are different ways to do it. If you check my shows out, 243, 244. And lots of you say this to me. You go, I went on the site, I looked at the stuff, and I still don't know what I'm doing. Do you honestly think on a radio show, on an archive, you're going to get the full extent of a process? Do you think that? Could you put the expertise behind your bag of tricks in a one-hour volume, in a two-hour set? You can't do it. You've got to be willing to work with it and work with it in a joyful way. So you have a CPAP machine. You suspect that you're snoring and that you've got apnea. You go out and get yourself tested and they tell you you're cutting off half the oxygen. You want to do something about it. I'm giving you a start. And I'm telling you, if you can straighten that posture out, you will clear out. I've seen a number of people do this. So shifting posture is one big driver of sleep apnea. The next one, weight. W-E-I-G-H-T, weight. 30 pounds overweight, 40 pounds overweight, 50 pounds overweight. How about 20 pounds overweight and a little anterior head carriage? How about the difference between you and you 5 years ago is 30 pounds, which isn't that much. 30 pounds, but that 70-hour week in front of a computer is now slouching your head forward. 70 hours a week for 5 years, and you gained 40 pounds. What does that mean to the oropharynx? One, it means a lot more fat. Fat makes those tissues in the oropharynx much thicker. Fat makes those tissues in the oropharynx much, much thicker. So there you go. You're skinny, but you've got a lot of anterior head carriage. You're 50 or 60 or 70 pounds overweight, and you've got a little bit of anterior head carriage. Multiple factors congest the oropharynx. So this is what we're coming to now. So you have to have a real understanding of that space. That's why I put it on the site. So you can look at the pictures and then do your own Google searches and look at the oropharynx, the tongue, the epiglottis, the trachea, the esophagus, so on and so forth. That area being choked out is what starts your apnea process. So, have you gained weight? What is the posture of the neck? How far forward have you come? If you've gained the weight, lose the weight. You know, one of the biggest cures for sleep apnea is weight loss. But people focusing on weight loss are usually not focusing on sleep apnea. How many people do multiple things for their health all at once? So some guy gets up one day and he says, I've had enough. I can't even dry myself when I come out of the shower. I'm losing weight. And he drops 40, 50, 60, 70, 100 pounds. Whatever he drops, whatever she drops. And you know what they say? Incidentally, I used to have sleep apnea, but it went away. I've seen this so many times over 25 years. So you've got weight and you've got postural concerns. Now, let's continue. Sleep apnea. What screws up your deep repose sleep? The next one is the deviated septum. So let's understand the nose now. Let's understand the nose. First of all, I don't want you to do this, but do this on your own in the shower or something. Put your finger up your nose. Put your finger up your nose and go in there and notice that at a certain point, you can't put your finger up your nose. Something stops it. Because on the inside of the nasal passage, we have something called turbinates, nasal turbinates or concha. These nasal turbinates are outgrowths of bone into the nasal passage, and that's what stops your finger. So if you go to picture number two, you're going to see three nasal turbinates, the inferior, the middle, and the superior. And you have them on both sides. Nasal turbinates swell. They swell. They can swell due to allergic reactions. They can swell off reflexes off the colon and the liver. Swollen nasal turbinates and or polyps. If you can't get breath through the nose. So we're talking about sleep apnea. One big driver of apnea is you can't get air through the nose. If you can't get it through the nose, you take it down through the mouth. That is a loss of efficiency. It's a loss of efficiency because when you take it through the nose, you vibrate through the ethmoid sinus, through the cribriform plate, the dural tissue of the brain and spinal cord. Now, I realize if you're new to the show, that's Chinese. It's something you don't understand. It's a language you don't speak. So understand this. There's a skin around the brain and around the spinal cord. I put pictures of it on the show. And if you look at picture number 18, number 19, number 20, number 22, that's the skin or the meninges that goes around the brain and around the spinal cord. When you breathe through the nose, the air goes up through the nasal passages and it vibrates these little holes in the ethmoid bone that the brain is sitting on. So go down to picture 14. And if you're driving, just understand, when you breathe through the nose, right now in the car, when you breathe through the nose, the air goes up through the nose. It vibrates a bone called the ethmoid bone up there behind your forehead. And that vibration starts to titillate. It starts to vibrate. It starts to control the frequency of the dural tissue around the brain, between the brain, cutting the brain through the transverse plane, around the spinal cord and all the way down to the sacrum. That's what breath through the nose does. The cost of shifting breath from through the nose to down the mouth is very, very devastatingly costly. So no, this doesn't have anything to do with you because you don't have sleep apnea. If you breathe through the mouth because your nose is blocked, you're going to integrate this into a concern about sleep apnea and whether you get up all night because you're breathing that way or whether you're a mouth breather that just doesn't wake up. Either way, you've lost dural cohesion. You've lost your dural integrity. Breath is supposed to be through the nose. That's not a little thing. That's a really big thing. So we've just expanded the perimeter of the show, the scope of the show. It's not just CPAP machine, sleep apnea. It's breath through the nose. Lots of people that have sleep apnea couldn't get air through the nose. But you have people that are mouth breathers that don't have sleep apnea, just as dangerous. Unless the air goes through the nose, you can't really balance the autonomic nervous system. And that's what it comes down to. If sleep is not a time in which you're engaging the parasympathetic impulses, you're very, very vulnerable. You jaw clenchers, TMJ people, clenching all night, crushing the sphenoid, crushing the temporal bone, ensuring yourself that the hypothalamic frequencies are not directing the physiology, the biochemistry, the biophysics of the cell. Big problems. This is where health really is in understanding these concepts. You have to get excited about these concepts. Eventually, what I'll do is what Carl Sagan did with astronomy. You know, who cares about the moon and the stars and Jupiter and Pluto? Well, Carl Sagan did. And he turned it into something interesting for everybody. I think this stuff is fascinating. And I think there's a ton of science behind it. It's just that the public doesn't know. Did you know before today's show? And this is the point. There's so much stuff out there like this. The mechanisms of health that God, dare I say God, can't say God. It's undemocratic now to say God, right? Took God out of Pledge of Allegiance, can't say God. Which God are you talking about, your God or my God? Well, if it's my God and not your God, well, that's not American. Whatever happened? Think about it. Think about it. God, everybody's God, put mechanisms in the human organism that are fascinating. And all that diseases, all that symptoms are potential dynamic investigations into the mystery of what God put there to fix what's not working. That's a great job. I think being a doctor is a great job. I get to go in there and see what mysterious inherent mechanism is no longer intact. And if I can get somebody, if I could get somebody across the desk to join me, well, invariably, people will heal. I don't heal them. They don't heal them. We're just operators on God's machine. And then, boom, somehow the body figures out how to do it. If you scientists don't think that's scientific enough, you need to change the construct of your science. You need to call your science to the witness stand and ask your science to reconsider the possibility that there's a lot of science in tapping and scratching into the mystery of mechanisms you don't understand and then letting God do his job. We just call him in and it happens. There's a lot of science in what it takes to go knocking on God's door. And that's the way you should look at your healing, at your inquiry into that mysterious place where we don't know how it really happens. So, we're talking about breath through the nose to vibrate the ethmoid bone, to tintillate, to stimulate, to control the frequencies of the dural tissue around the neck, down the spine, so that the magnetic fields coming off the dural sheath, off the spinal cord, carry an intelligence. Now, when I say carry an intelligence, a magnetic field is a wave of energy that causes other things to happen. That's why we say it carries an intelligence. It's bringing a question or a prompting. It's compelling the cell to put its affairs in order. What comes off the magnetic field of the spinal cord that comes off breath through the dural tissue is an intelligence that prompts the chemistry of the cell to organize correctly. And when you see people that can't do this, they get sick. When you see all the diseases across the board walking into your office, when you hear people asking for help with their health concerns, the link between these phenomena is uncanny. It's absolutely uncanny. So then why? Online, at the clinics, the hospitals, in your medical offices, are you not being told heart disease, renal disease, cancer, your anxiety disorders, your panic attacks? Why are you not being told, do you have apnea? Have you been tested? Do you get air through the nose? And this is my point. So pat yourself on the back for being ahead of the game. All right, let's continue. Let's continue the journey here. Nasal polyps, ENT, ear, nose, and throat doctor. Ear, nose, and throat doctor, ENTs. How many of you knew or know? How many of you know that ENT means ears, nose, and throat? Okay, now you do. ENT, go to an ENT. If you don't get air through your nose, go to an ENT and say, I want to know why I don't get air through my nose. You say, I'm not leaving here until I know why I don't get air through my nose. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say it that way? Most of your ENTs shortchange for all sort of political medical reasons and just give you prednisone. ENTs are like steroid dispensers. They shouldn't be. They don't want to be. It's not even their fault. But the truth is they are. And the reason is the quick and easy fix for someone that can't get air through the nose is usually shrink, reduce, eliminate the inflammatory component of what's going on up there in the nasal turbinates. Even if you've got obstructive problems, like you've got nasal polyps, they give you prednisone to shrink the polyps. Now, they don't give you the systemic prednisone. They'll give you a prednisone spray, which is not as bad. It's a lot better to get a localized hit of prednisone than a full-blown albuterol or something. So it's not like ENTs are doing something really, really bad. But when you go to an ENT, and you should, if you don't get air through your nose, if you don't get air through one of your nostrils, if one of your nostrils is more than 5%, 10% reduced, go to an ENT to make sure that there's not a cause that's biomechanical, that is surgically, that can be fixed and eliminated, like nasal polyps. It's an easy test. He's going to go up there with a magnifying glass and a light bulb, and he's going to check around the nasal passages. He's going to look for nasal polyps. Now, later on, we can scan through the picture so you can see a nasal polyp. Polyps are like grapes. They grow out from the inside of the nose. I've known people living for years. I have known people living for years with 50% occlusion in the nasal passages. You know, it's great to be into natural medicine. It's a great thing. To me, there's not two medicines. There's one medicine. That natural medicine has some opposition to allopathic medicine is very unfortunate. And that allopathic medicine has a big problem with natural medicine is very unfortunate. Because it's you that lose. The public loses. Without intelligent integration of the two. I couldn't imagine doing the things that I do for my clients without having good medical teams. And there's a lot that goes into negotiating with your allopath, the best of the allopath. And you have to understand they're not the enemy. They're your allies. They're just caught in a very problematic system that unfortunately just became much more problematic. If you talk to your average medical doctor over the age of 60 years old, he's going to give you an earful and he's going to talk about the good old days when he could be a doctor. And there are medical doctors that have been exempt from this prosecution. But many of them will tell you it used to be much, much, much better. So you got to remember your allopath is trapped. She feels as trapped as you may feel when you guys meet. So you have to enamor him. You've got to invite him in, which means you have to have the knowledge, thus the show. So if you don't get breath through your nose easily, both sides of the nose, go to an ENT and say, listen, you may want to give me prednisone or whatever. That's fine, but I want to know the cause. You got to rule out the polyps. That's number one. The second thing you've got to rule out is a deviated septum. Now, you've got this big mass of cartilage that separates one nasal passage from the other. And a deviated septum, what does it deviated mean? It means it's crooked. It means it's been eaten away. It's not even there. It means there's something deviated about your septum. Go to picture number. I had a great picture of it. Here, go to picture number 9. What is a deviated septum? Picture 9. What is a deviated septum? There you can see it. On the left, that cartilage, that hyaline cartilage separation is straight. And then when it's deviated, it's crooked. A deviated septum is simple. What's the result? What is the result of a deviated septum? Well, look at picture 8. You see that guy? You see how that right nostril on that guy is so shut down? That's because that cartilage wall is shifted all the way to the right side of him. Now, that's a deviated septum. That's a problem. That's nasal occlusion. You may have a 25% deviation. You may have a 50% deviation. But if you close one nostril and you can't get air, if you're going to suffocate, if you close one nostril, if I close one nostril right now, it's not better than two, but I'm not going to suffocate, are you? If you're going to suffocate because one of your nostrils is closed, meaning you keep your mouth closed, you compress one nostril, and that other nostril can't get enough air, get that fixed. Because you'll go into sleep apnea, and if you don't, you'll still hurt yourself. Remember, when we say cause, we don't say you have renal disease and it's caused by sleep apnea. We say you have renal disease and one of the major influencing factors, not to be dismissed as a little factor, to be respected as a big factor, is sleep apnea. You got to watch the words there. People get caught up in words. People get caught up in words all the time. Right? We're taught in school, be very careful about your words. Well, that's good. It's also bad because people just listen to words. Somebody says sleep apnea causes renal disease. And you're supposed to understand that that means sleep apnea influences in a very big way your propensity to renal disease. But you see, you said sleep apnea causes renal disease. It causes heart failure. It causes insanity. It causes low back pain. It causes autoimmune disease. It causes cancer. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. And everything gets flushed down the drain. And we forget about sleep apnea. So get the big picture here. It influences. Do you have polyps? Do you have a deviated septum? Have you gained a lot of weight? Do you have anterior head carriage? If you gained weight, lose weight. Oh, thank you, Medici. Thank you so much. Like I don't know I need to lose weight. Of course you do. But you want to know something? We live in a politically correct society. If weight drives sleep apnea and sleep apnea drives disease, then how come when you went to the doctor for your heart condition, or for your renal condition, or for your autoimmune disease, the doctor didn't say, you've gained weight, you've got sleep apnea, it's been 10 years, that means it's significantly contributing to your autoimmune disease. You see, if I don't need to say it, if I don't need to repeat it, then how come you're not hearing it when you get yourself diagnosed? When you go for therapy, preventative or for actual therapy for disease and its variations. How come you're not told it if I don't need to say it? I do need to say it. So you can't say, thanks, Medici. I needed to hear you say I need to lose weight. I know. Point. What's my point? My point is, you see, life's about attaching gravity to things. Gravity, depth. Depth. What is the depth of your relationship with how poor sleep creates illness? What is the depth of your relationship between concepts? So this is a show of depth. It's why I like to use pictures. Pictures add dimension. Look, here's why. In my experience, the journey of a doctor, in that a doctor takes these things. If you take my sleep away, before my sleep is gone, I sleep great. I make sure I sleep great. Before, I kid you not, before something would take my sleep away, I'd be sleeping in the woods in a yurt somewhere in Patagonia. That's where I put sleep. Sleep, to me, is supreme. Sleep and a clear conscience. Those are the two things in life one must have health. But you see, the gravity I attach to that statement comes off 25 years of watching people spend hundreds and thousands of dollars allopathically or alternatively and not get a return on their money because they missed fundamentals. Remember Mike Tyson, the punch that guy threw? Unarguably one of the top five great punchers. No one can argue top 10. I would put him number four, number three. You know why he knew how to throw a punch? It was called Gus D'Amato, who gave him the fundamentals. Fundamentals in everything make the difference. Herbs are not fundamentals. Herbs accelerate a healing. Herbs are necessary. Nutritional supplementation speeds up a healing. Often it's necessary. If you're really, really bad, if you're in bad shape, you need to use supplements. You need to use herbs. But they never constitute the foundation for the healing. Without the foundations, you can supplement it away. You will, in the end, collapse. All right. Do you have a polyp? Do you have a deviated septum? Anterior head carriage? Weight? Now, let's talk about the epithelium. What's the epithelium? On the turbinates, those bones up in your nostrils that stick out, they can enlarge. They will enlarge. They're very connected to your sinuses. Now, your sinuses, take a look at picture five. If you tap your finger just between your eyebrows, up a little high, those are called your frontal sinuses. If you take your two fingers and put them on either side of the nose and tap, those are the maxillary sinuses. Sinuses are like spongy bone. Sinuses are bone that has holes in it like a sponge. So there's solid bone, there's rock solid bone. And then there's bone that looks like a sponge. Bone that looks like a sponge is called a sinus. You have a frontal sinus, you have an ethmoid sinus, and you have two maxillary sinuses. And they're connected to your nasal passages. And those areas are all damp and moist. And the nasal sinuses, the nasal passages on the turbinates, those big bones that stick out, have little hairs called cilia. Columnar cells with cilia. There's different types of cells in the body that everything is made of. Squamous cells. Well, these are columnar cells. They're rectangularly shaped. They got little hairs on the end. They're called cilia. Ciliated respiratory columnar cells. So little hairs line the inside of your nose. Great. You know why the hair is there? Because it traps all the garbage that you're breathing in. It traps it, and it tends to push it down out of the nose. Now, the knockout punch. Sometimes these cilia begin to die. If you snorted cocaine for too many years back in the 70s or 80s, if you've been exposed to high concentrations of chemicals on the job site, you will consistently, you may consistently irritate the inner lining of the nose and the sinuses, and you will inflame them, and you may live that way for years. And you may just take it for granted. Let's just say you were born. You know those guys, those men and women, those big wide faces? You know what a big wide face means? It means you've got big wide nasal passages. Now, what about those people with narrow heads? Which, of course, as GQ and Vanity Fair will tell you, make the sexier man today. The sexy man today, according to these surveys, now I'm not deviating, I'm just pointing this out, it's appropriate. The sexy man today has a narrow head. He has a more feminine set of cheekbones. Girls like that. He has that Justin Bieber look. He has that nice hairdo where it's narrow on the side and high on the top. So we've taken that big, fat bulldog face, and we've narrowed it on down into one of those very narrow faces. Well, that may be good for the ladies. I'll leave that alone. But it's not good for your nasal passages. Because if your nasal passages are already narrow, and you're subjected to enough toxicity, and just living near Long Beach, living in Torrance, living in the city, living in Manhattan, living anywhere where the air is brown. And where is the air not brown around a city today in the world? From Beijing to New York to LA. If those nasal passages are smaller, that's more than enough to occlude them. Occlude them because of a polyp? No. Occlude them because of a deviated septum? No. Occlude them for no reason other than the turbinates inflame and they block the nose. So you live, predominantly speaking, with a clogged nose. You'll say, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I can breathe and sometimes I can't breathe. Get an IQ air purifier. If you think it's dirty air, if somehow you figured this out, could do a show on that. If somehow you suspect dirty air, chemicals on the job, so on and so forth, are the cause of your intermittent occlusion. That's big. Intermittent nasal occlusion is big because it shuts off the sympathetic response when you're sleeping, the parasympathetic response. You can't have balanced autonomics. Intermittent blockage after these other things have been ruled out by an ENT is enough to warrant. Get the IQ air purifier. Get the one for $1,200. The multi-gas purifier. Forget these HEPA things. Get this. Look it up. IQ air. They are another level of air purifier. It's that great fusion between the destruction of the ecosystem and our wonderful ability to save the day through technology. Breathe clean air is what I'm saying to you. If you're in the city, make sure you're breathing clean air anyway because you put the time in to figure out how to compensate. Get into that. Why? Because the air you breathe will inflame the turbinates. And people live this way intermittently so that 30% of their life is spent with a clogged nasal passage. Now, two organs that get in the way of breath through the nose. Two organs, the liver and the colon. The liver is sinus, the colon is sinus. When your colon is bloated, when your large intestine is clogged, haven't you noticed if you get constipated, you get clogged in the nose? Haven't you noticed that when you flush the liver, when you go through all the journeys that are part of cleaning the liver, the coffee enemas and the olive oil flushes, that it cleans your nose. Haven't you noticed the cleaner you eat, the more you cleanse, the more you sweat, the cleaner the air is through the nose? Haven't you gone from clogged nose to clear nose as you cleanse? Those of you who have done this know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are new to the show, let's just sum it up. You don't get air through the nose, you'll get sleep apnea. You don't get air through the nose, even if you don't get sleep apnea, your sleep will change. Air through the nose is the way it's supposed to be. If it's not that way, you have to look at anterior head carriage. You have to look at weight. You have to go to an ENT. If you're all negative, if none of that's the cause, intermittent nasal occlusion, you've got to look to the liver and the colon. You've got to understand that the sinuses and the turbinates will inflame in response to the amount of toxicity, backup, cloggage, blockage in your excretory chambers, through the biliary ducts, through the lymph, and through the colon, and you've got to do something about it. If you can't get air through the nose easily, if you're not getting 5 to 7 to 8 straight hours air through the nose, you've got to do something about it. If you're lost in that journey, give my office a call. If you're listening and you're a do-it-yourself guy, do it yourself. But understand, it's a journey. It's an inquiry. I've got 278 hours. Doctors listen to this show all over the world. People all over the world listen to this show. People all over Costa Mesa listen to this show. People everywhere, because they get that the way to do this is to get educated. So if you're still confused, even though you start, you'll at least know how to find competent help. Whether it's me or someone else, find competent help. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I can give you competent help in union with other people who know how to give you competent help. I like the team approach, but somebody's got to orchestrate, and that person's me. Now, get to the site. Go to picture 28. Here's a guy, Dr. Jonathan Greenberg. You've heard this guy. You've heard him advertised all over the radio. He wants a solution to the CPAP machine. He wants an alternative. If you need a quick fix, if you don't have the time to do any of this stuff that I'm talking about, but you've got sleep apnea and you know it, or you've got it, you've got a CPAP, you hate the CPAP, try this guy out. He's a smart guy. He may not solve it, but he's got the education, he's got the experience, and he's looking for easy solutions, far, far easier than CPAP machines. So do it my way, do it his way, do it some way, but do it. 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.